promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God's still calling people today, man. People are still receiving Jesus. People are still receiving the promise.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Pentecost. The baptism in the Holy Spirit has many ongoing purposes, and one of those purposes is a prayerful purpose. My hope for you today is that you experience this promise and fulfill its purposes. I pray that through this message, you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged by the Word of God. Today's message is part one of a prayerful purpose.
Today's message is part three in our series. It's entitled Prayerful Purpose. Pentecost has a prayerful purpose. So if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. We'll be in verses 4 and 5. Later on in the message, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We'll have the verses provided for you on the screen. If you've missed any message in the series, it's really easy now because we have our website up and we have a link to our podcast. And you go online, you can check that out, or you go straight to iTunes and find a podcast of the series and follow along there. So if you missed anything, that's a great tool to have. If you miss something, you can go back and listen to the messages, and you can do it in your own home at your own time, leisure. As we start off this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to review four key truths. Number one is this: the disciples were born again prior to the day of Pentecost. The disciples were born again prior to the day of Pentecost. We know that's in John chapter 20, verse 21. And so Jesus said to them, again, peace to you. Remember, this is the evening of the resurrection. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He gave them the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. They were born again. So every person subsequent to this event would receive the Holy Spirit when they turned to Jesus by faith. Number two is this: Jesus promised his disciples who would receive the promise of the Father and would be baptized in the Spirit. So subsequent to this event, even though they had received the Holy Spirit, there was a subsequent event. Jesus promised his disciples they would receive the promise of the Father and would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we see that clearly in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? But to wait for the promise of the Father, to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be what? Baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the disciples were born again, but they had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as promised. Again, we know that because Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem, wait for the promise. And when did the promise occur? Number three, the disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Upon receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit filled them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, these are people who are born again already, but they had not received the promise of the Father. This occurs, this baptism occurs, and they are filled with the Spirit. They speak in other tongues as what? Again, the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit inspired their speech. I mean, they didn't just open their mouth and the Holy Spirit began to speak. That's not what happened. It was their voices, correct? Listen, if you open your mouth and another voice comes out, there's a problem, all right? That would freak me out and that would scare me. So it better be your voice, but it's the Spirit gave them the utterance. The Spirit inspired their speech. If this is the only time this will occur, where born-again people subsequently receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I mentioned this in the earlier part of the series, we should never see it in Scripture again, correct? If this is an isolated case, it's only special for this circumstance, we should never see it in Scripture again, correct? Because it does occur again in Scripture, and then more than once. In Acts chapter 8, after Philip preached the gospel to the Samaritans received truth. Peter and John were then summoned to come to Samaria to witness the event. Upon arriving, they had discerned they had not received the Holy Spirit as they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, just as they had on the day of Pentecost, as the 120 had on the day of Pentecost. Give me another example. The Acts chapter 10, similar situation, similar occurrence. Peter preaches salvation to the household of Cornelius. And remember, Cornelius had been seeking God. He's a Gentile. He's a God-fearing man. He wants to know truth. He wants to know more about God. So God gives him a vision about a man named Peter who's going to come. Listen, this guy just needs the message preached to him. That's all. He's ready to receive. He just needs to know which way to go. So God, in his mercy, sends Peter. Peter also has a vision going to the house of Cornelius, because Cornelius is a Gentile, which is not allowed, correct? God sets it all up. God brings it all together. This man is just waiting for a preacher to come. The preacher comes, shares truth with him. He receives the Holy Spirit. So does the household. They are baptized in the Holy Spirit. They all spoke in tongues. And this is years later. So it's not like this stopped in the early beginning. Because remember, Paul's ministry is years after. And this is on his second missionary journey as well. Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul was ministering in Ephesus. Paul finds some disciples who had not even heard of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people who know Jesus, but they don't even know who they have living inside of them. Paul finds out, he lays hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and prophesied, it says. So tongues was the common occurrence throughout all those situations. It's the common, what we call the common manifestation. That's why we, as Pentecostals, believe that speaking in other tongues is the initial physical evidence. It's the one that appears in all these situations. We believe that this experience is normal. It was normal to the early church and is still available today. Why is it available today? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a perpetual promise. Number four, Acts 2:39. Promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God's still calling people today, man. People are still receiving Jesus. People are still receiving the promise. After receiving this promise on the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke to onlookers who questioned what was occurring. And these people were outside of the upper room in the temple courts. They had witnessed the outcome of this experience. Remember, they questioned if these men who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit were what? Were drunk, if they were drunk. And Peter answered this question saying, this experience is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy concerning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he proceeds to quote Joel's prophecy, which is another indicator that is a perpetual promise. It wasn't just a one-time event. And secondly, we know it's a perpetual promise because Peter said it was. It's to our children and to those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So it's a valid promise for today. And if you've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's a valid promise for today. And you say, I understand it's a valid promise, but why? Why should I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose? And there are several purposes we've covered in this series. I just want to highlight these quickly before we go on to the next one. But we believe that a believer receives additional power to be a witness. That doesn't mean that only Pentecostals have power to witness. That's not what we believe. We believe we receive additional power to be a witness. We believe there's an overflowing fullness of the Spirit in the life of the believer. We believe there is a deepened reverence in the life of a believer. We believe there's an intensified consecration for God and for the work of the ministry. Again, I know there are Christians who question our experience, and here's why. Because they don't understand its purposes. And I think if they understand the purposes, they would understand why we believe this so emphatically. Specifically, they are confused when Pentecostals, hear me, when we speak in tongues without interpretation, that's what messes them up. And so let's address that concern. That's going to be the one, that's the elephant in the room, correct? When you deal with Pentecostalism. And people are non-Pentecostals, what they don't understand. And I'm going to give you this. We don't articulate our stance well, and I would say this, because most of us don't know why we do it. Listen, you should get it yourself. It's in the Word of God. And listen, I'm going to ask you to put down traditions for just a moment and just hear the Word of God. But I know there are people who question our experience, and it's because, again, they don't understand its purposes. On the day of Pentecost, those overhearing the 120 disciples speaking in tongues, right? We understand that happened, right, in Acts chapter 2. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, correct? There was 120 of them. The crowd that's outside overheard this, correct? It's even in the Greek, akouo, they overheard. They overheard these believers speaking in languages. Some of these people heard them speaking in what? Native tongues, correct? So if someone was from a different country and they had a native tongue, they overheard them speaking in the tongue native to their language. They didn't interpret the tongues, correct? It's not what the Bible says. They heard. See, listen, all some of you light should have just went off right there. Because here's the problem. Why do you Pentecostals speak in tongues and not give an interpretation? Well, let's start in Acts chapter 2 first and as the example. Because they didn't give the interpretation. Because if you say they gave the interpretation, you got a bigger problem. Because now you have unbelievers operating the spiritual gifts. Have you ever thought about that? See, what this is going to help you do is to dissect some things. Because there are different purposes for tongues. There are different purposes for the gift of tongues, and there's a different purpose for tongues in general. Listen, at Pentecost, in Samaria, at Cornelius' house, and in Ephesus, when the believers received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, was there any interpretations? It's upon us Pentecostals to be able to define this and example this properly. See, because this is where we mess people up. I believe this, that most people would be open if we would just explain it correctly and give them good scriptural evidence of why. But if you say that all tongues must have an interpretation, you've got a big problem with those four examples. All right, however, when the gift of tongues is in operation, hear me, such as in a church service as we have here this morning, there should be an interpretation. There should be an interpretation. That's the only time the Bible tells us that the gift of tongues should be followed by an interpretation of tongues. Look at Acts 2:11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. We hear them speaking, and this is going back to the initial first occurrence. Jews from all around the world were in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And outside the upper room, they're in the temple courts. These men overhear these believers speaking in dialects only known to the hearers. The people speaking the tongues didn't know the language they were using, by the way, right? They didn't know. They were just speaking in an unknown language. And it happened to be that some of those who were there had heard them in their native dialect. And then what were they doing? They were proclaiming the wonderful works of God. The gift of tongues is different from tongues. Those four examples are a great example. That should show you something, that there's a difference between these two events. All right, they are the same in essence, but they are distinct in their purposes. It's very important that you heard that. Please hear me. They are distinct, they are the same in essence, but they are distinct in their purpose. Again, if you say those hearing the Spirit-filled believers speak in tongues were operating in the gift of interpretation, again, you have a problem. Because again, you're saying that people who are not born again can hear the interpretation, a spiritual gift. Are you following me? That creates a theological problem, yes or no? And I hope you're already seeing a difference, that there's a difference in the purpose. Those who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. Tongues were a sign. They were a sign that they had received. But then we talk later about the gift that's in operation, and that gift has a purpose when it's in operation. So when the gift of interpretation tongues are in operation, the person, hear me, does not hear the language and then translate it. That's not how it works.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the Word of God. I want to encourage you to serve the Lord Jesus with all your heart and experience His many promises for your life. The baptism in the Holy Spirit has a prayerful purpose, and I hope that you are challenged to seek and fulfill this purpose. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, I pray you are blessed as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.